Good morning. Today is Friday, February 21st, and the time is 8:30. I now call the meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll check. Commissioner Morris, are you present?
Yes.
And Commissioner Osborne?
Yes.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the commission, you'll need to fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items to 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on December 13th, 2024. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Anyone?
I vote that we approve the minutes.
Second that motion.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. All right, we'll now move on to item B. Commissioner Pettijohn, would you please give us your report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 5 is the report of the audit activities for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. And follow up on the first item, that report is we have made adjustments and implemented changes, and then, so that item is now complete. The second item is also complete, and the report follows in your packet, and all of our policies were certified as being in compliance. So there are no follow-ups needed for that particular item. And then all the remainder items are audits that are scheduled to begin, some of them in the very near future, but those are in process. So that's, I'd have you answer any questions, but that's my report.
Any questions? All right, thank you. Commissioner Retta?
Yes, Madam Chair. The first item, it's on page 12, by the way, is the audit activities of the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. And on the first item, the Mortgage Grant Fund, all of the recommendations and the procedures were implemented, so that has been completed. And the second, the same situation in terms of the report of the Personnel Policy and Procedure System Review. We're in full compliance, and the report is attached in the package as well. And the remaining items are all the controls over expenditure processing, post-payment procurement audit, and the cybersecurity framework assessment. They're all either in process or in the case of the latter to begin in March 10th. And then the thrift examinations audit is also to be started, but as of yet, we do not have a date. I will add one notice that did come in after we submitted the material here, is that we did receive notice of a DPS audit that will be upcoming, but that likely was starting in the last, in latter March or early April. That's a report.
Any questions for Commissioner Ritter? Mr. Cooper.
First begins on page 3, on page 19. The comptroller, the post-payment audit, which started on August the 19th of last year, completed on January 15th, and we're expecting the final report in the coming months. We do have the state auditor's office doing a SDSI agency audit, and that is in process. And the DPS audit began on the 5th, I believe. Then Garza Gonzalez, is their audit of the money service businesses started on February the 10th. And then they are going, Garza Gonzalez will be doing their revenue accounting in either early spring or summer. And Madam Chair, I'd just like to make a comment. It seems like we always have two or three audits going on. So if anybody says we're not audited, I think they're mistaken.
Right.
That's all we have.
Good job. Well, maybe you just get them all done at once and then I'm giving you a little bit of a break.
That would be good.
Thank you. All right, we now move on to item C. Commissioner Pettijohn, would you please give us your report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Moran Diamond's going to provide the report for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner.
Good morning, Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. The Investment Officer report starts on page 20 of your packet. normal activity within the recovery fund. Moving to page 21, you will notice in the top section about $68,000 in a transfer to cover grant reimbursements in Q1. Overall, about $250,000 in growth in the portfolio in Q1. And then on the following page is the asset allocation summary from TTSTC. This is on page 22. This is provided to you annually. As you will note in second to right column, in the long-term target column, most categories are near the long-term target and within the range of the policy. So just wanted to note that. That's all on investment officer.
I would just make a note that we bring the folks from TTSTC here every other year on a biannual basis to give a report to the commission. And it's normally in the February meeting. But they do that in even numbered years, not in odd numbered years. And this is one of the charts that they provide when they give that more detailed report on the endowment portfolio. So just wanted to provide you with this information and that background. And that's all we have on investment office.
All right, thank you. Mr. Renna?
Yes, Madam Chair, on page 23. Yes, page 23 is where we have the investment officer report. And here we can detail the balances that we have in the recovery fund. We do have, of course, note that the fund is capable of meeting all obligations and that the investment policies have been followed. And the only comment I have is I noticed that on the overnight repurchase agreements that previously in this section we did have banks. We had some CDs that were with the state savings banks, but none of them really offered return or an interest rate that can match what here. So being responsible stewards, we're keeping it there in the overnight repurchase agreements. Then on the next page, we have the mortgage grant fund detail that just shows what the balance is remaining in that fund right now, or as of November 30th. And that's a report.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Cooper?
On page 25, we have the report on the C's prepaid funeral funds. Which we have none at this time. Then on page 26, we have the trust-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund. It shows a ending balance of a little over $1.5 million. The key transactions primarily involving a little bit of restitution and the fact that we had to stop payment on some checks that had to be reissued, so you have some ins and outs. And $2,800 was cheated to the comptroller. And then, of course, it shows the balances where we have the money of the $1.5 million, as indicated. Page 27, we have the insurance-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund, ending balance a little over $1 million, and only activity being the interest received and the trustee fee that's paid. And then finally, just for your information, on page 28, we have Jesse Saucillo's certificate where he attended the Public Funds Investment Act training. And that's our report.
All right, thank you. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2025 first quarter investment officer reports?
David Osborne, make a motion to approve.
Second. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. We now move on to item D. Commissioner Pettijohn, would you please give us your report?
Thank you, Manager. And Moran Diamond is going to provide the report for the first quarter financial statements.
Thank you, Commissioner. The first quarter financial statement is on page 29 of your packet. I just wanted to note a few items from the variance analysis. Overall, revenues are at 111% of the budget. With regard to consumer lending, this is really a timing issue with our regulated lenders renewing in November and December. So we should see that even out throughout, especially in Q2 and throughout the remainder of the fiscal year. Moving to expenditures, overall expenditures are 93.5% of the budget. Just wanted to note IT, some projects are ongoing and costs are being incurred for those, just not necessarily in Q1. And then with regard to miscellaneous operating costs, certain items such as insurance premiums are paid in Q1, and that causes that variance along with other items. Moving to the liquidity report on page 23, total unreserved cash at the end of the period was $5.7 million, with 7.3 months of operating costs available. As a reminder, as sort of previously stated with regard to regulated lenders, a large portion of our revenue is collected in Qs 1 and 2, and so we see this trend throughout most fiscal years.
But this is a higher point of our cash flow.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Reddit.
Yes, Madam Chair. Antonio, Director of Operations, will provide the report.
Good morning, Antonio Anto for Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our financials report begins on page 32. The variances are explained on page 33. Our revenues for the first quarter are 8.6% over budget. We're towards the end right now of our licensing fees renewal, so very soon we'll know the full picture of the licensing revenues for the renewals anyway, and we'll know better what we have to work with. The expenditures are 5% under budget. Most of the amount is due to vacancies. And our liquidity report is on page 34. We currently are at about 7 months of reserves, and similar to what the other agency mentioned, this is our high period. The end of the second period is going to be our highest with the renewal season ending. And then we're going to start taper off. So towards the fiscal year end, we fully expect to be in compliance with the policy, the liquidity policy.
Just a general question for all three. The long-term facilities planning dollar amount, do those stay the same now, or do we add to that, or are they kind of frozen?
Well, it's interest accrues on the
on that amount
on the amount each time each quarter.
But no more contributions at this point.
Not at the moment.
No, right, right. Right. No, I know.
Right.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember when the last contribution was, but we estimate having to make one. We first have to get the other house approved.
Okay. To do that. Thank you.
Yeah, we each contributed an extra almost $3 million. It was a year plus ago, I think, roughly. But maybe it was a year ago.
Yeah, but we allocate the depositor interest on the funds. The funds are not physically separated.
Yes,
correct. Yeah, but we just allocate interest.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Chairman, would you
give our report?
Good morning, Sandy Chad, the Department of Banking. Page 35 shows our operating statement for quarter one, FY25. Our actual revenues are at 104.3% of budget, while our actual expenditures are at 95.6% of budget. So both revenues and expenditures are within the plus minus 5% thresholds. On page 36, our various explanations related to our financials. I'll go over three items. The first one on the revenue side, penalties for non-depository supervision. There's a variance, and that is due to higher than anticipated collected penalties, primarily from unlicensed money services businesses. The other two items are related to expenditures. First one, employee benefits and additional health retirement contribution. there's a positive variance there, and that relates to vacant staff positions. Vacancies in terms of full-time equivalents as of November 30th, 2024. We had 8 on the administrative side and 34 on the financial examiner side. And then the last item is miscellaneous operating costs. There's a positive variance, and that's related to three items. The first one is lower than anticipated assessments from the State Office of Risk Management. Second one, there's a budgeted unemployment claim expenditure that did not occur. And the last part is there's a small miscategorized item that should have been expended under consumer funds. Any questions so far? Page 37 is the liquidity report, which shows our reserve unreserved cash at 5.62 months, which is within, again, within the liquidity policy of 2 to 6 months. Questions?
Thank you. Now, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2025 first quarter financial statements?
Of course.
David Osborne, second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We will now move on to item E. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to call on Christine Graham to come forward and provide our report on the Texas Financial Education Endowment activities.
Good morning, members. Christine Graham, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I'm going to be on page 38 of your packet. The first item I'd like to cover is activities related to the current grant fund. We are just about halfway through the 2024 to 2025 cycle. We're currently processing reimbursements and reviewing activity reports for our grant recipients. Anticipate that those reports will be completed by next month. And then in April, at the April meeting, we'll provide you with a report with detailed information about expenses that we reimbursed as well as activities that the grant recipients engaged in. The second item that I'd like to cover is a timeline for our 2026 to 2027 grant cycle. As y'all are aware, TFE is a two-year grant, so every other year we go through an application process, and so we will beginning the application process for the 2026 to 2027 grant cycle. You can see the timeline here in your packet. A couple of things I'd like to point out. Over the next few months, we'll be spending some time reviewing our forms, our policies, procedures, make sure that they're transparent, concise, and that they follow the best practices and the Texas Grant Management Standards publication that's promulgated by the Comptroller's Office. We'll also be reviewing the endowment to determine what our recommendations may be for an aggregate grant amount for the next grant cycle. And at the June meeting, we'll bring to you our recommendation for that amount. If approved, the grant application period will open. We'll run from July to August. And then in September, we will work with our grant advisory committee to review applications, look at our priorities, and make some recommendations for organizations to receive funding, which we will bring to you for approval at the October meeting. And I know it seems a little far away, but I blink and it's here. So. They'll be here before we know it. And the last thing is that we would like to recommend a new appointment to our grant advisory committee. We are recommending to appoint Stephanie Beekhoff as our credit access business representative. She's the vice president of lending at Community Choice Financial. You can see her bio here. If approved, she would take... be appointed immediately, and her term would run through December 31st of 2027. So that's all I have, but I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We need a motion to approve Ms. Beekhoff. We're down one more probably.
Okay.
We're on item F.
Yeah. All right. Gotcha. All right. Thank you. All righty. So do I hear a motion to recommend the Finance Commission approve the appointment of Stephanie Beekhoff as a new Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund Grant Advisory Committee member?
David Osborne, move to approve.
Rosie Morris, second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes.
Thank you very much. Concludes our keeping the group activities report.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. Commissioner Renna, please give us your report.
Yes, Madam Chair. It's on page 40, and I would ask Nicolette Shields to step forward, and she'll present the report. Nicolette Shields just hired as the in the role of the grant coordinator at the beginning of this month. We went through about 2.5 months without a grant coordinator, during which time Elizabeth Zamora, who is the manager of strategic projects and initiatives, she managed all of that. So we're pleased now to have Nicolette in place so that she can assume that responsibility.
Good morning. The inaugural MGF grant cycle concluded on December 31st, 2024, and we're finalizing our final reimbursement reports at this time. Program evaluation metrics for this last grant cycle will be available for the next Finance Commission meeting. The second grant cycle began on January 1, and 12 grantee organizations were awarded a total of $710,000 for this grant cycle. All grantee organizations for the cycle have received grantee training orientation on risk assessments and reporting requirements.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's no discussion for that for item H. All right. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is 8:51 a.m.